So continuing our September in review theme, at the end of each month, we check in with Great Lakes commentator and journalist Gary Wilson, who shares with us updates on environmental stories from all around the Great Lakes Basin. So for today's Great Lakes Month in Review, we'll be talking about a summit on water resources. It was led by the region's mayors and also the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's update to the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Gary, are you with us?
Yes. Good morning, Rick. Thank you. And that was quite a discussion about what is or isn't happening in Michigan politics. It's always good to catch up with Michigan.
Well, thanks for that. So let's catch up with this mayor's conference. Where did this take place?
The conference was in Chicago, Rick. It was last week, called by Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel in direct response to the Toledo water crisis from early August. And just a quick reminder of what that was for listeners. Toledo was without water for 3 days because the water supply tested for high levels of microcystin, the toxin caused by algae. The mayor had to shut the system down. Bottled water flew off the shelves within a matter of hours. Mm-hmm. And 500,000 people went without water for 3 days. And in response to that, Mayor Emanuel wanted to rally the mayors around the region. He's on the board of directors of America's organization, and that's why he called the summit. Now, you can debate whether it's a good thing or not, but it did happen.
What would not be good about the Great Lakes mayors getting together to try and come up with some commonality on what should be done to protect and improve the Great Lakes?
Nothing wrong with them getting together, Rick. The announcements that came out of the summit, there was nothing new. And just because it was hosted by Chicago Mayor Emanuel, right after it was announced, I had a couple of people send me messages saying, is this substantive or is it political grandstanding, because it was coming from Emanuel?
The Great Lakes really didn't seem to be big on his agenda before this.
They weren't. When he was a member of Congress, he was heavily involved in Great Lakes issues, but he's been noticeably absent since he's been mayor of Chicago for the last 3.5 years. I tend to give him a pass on this. I take the glass is half full approach. He used the gravitas of his office to rally the mayors in the region, and even though there wasn't a whole lot that came out of it, they did spotlight one issue that really needs attention. So I'm going to give him a good grade for generating this conference.
Was that the cyanobacteria? I mean, Mayor Emanuel said that the Great Lakes face unprecedented danger. What was he talking about?
Well, this is the first time that a major city on the Great Lakes has been without drinking water because of water quality issues. We all know that the lakes have other issues related to toxic hotspots and invasive
We've had beaches close.
Beaches closed, invasive species knocking, Asian carp knocking at the door. But here were 500,000 people without water, without basic drinking water. And this is in a major city in a first world country. So that's the unprecedented part of all this. So
I guess the question is that a sustained threat, or was this a one-off?
No, this is a sustained threat during the algae season. Now, we're still, for Lake Erie especially, which is the most vulnerable of all the lakes to algae concerns, the season hasn't ended yet. It continues into mid to late October even. But the algae will be back next year and the year after, so This is an ongoing issue. It's not a one-off. And the key point that the mayors wanted to make was that there is no standard for how much of this toxin can be in the drinking water. There's a World Health Organization standard that was developed 20 years ago. It's sort of a guideline. It's not specific to the Great Lakes or even Lake
Erie. It's the one that Michigan currently uses because it's the best out there, but
In Toledo, they had staff doing Google searches for how do we deal with this. So If the mayor's had one message, it was for EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy, who was in attendance at the meeting, and that was, we need a standard because the cities around the region are going to be winging it, and that's not a place that you want to be. And I know there was a pretty direct discussion between Toledo Mayor Collins and Administrator McCarthy and Mayor Collins making the case that EPA needs to pick up the pace on working on this standard. And I did have an exchange last week with Dave Dempsey, a former Michigander who is now with the International Joint Commission. Your listeners may remember Dave as an author of many books on the Great Lakes while he was living in Michigan. Anyway, Dave is with the IJC now, the International Joint Commission, the U.S. and Canada group that advises the two governments on water issues. And Dempsey said that they will be coming out with a standard next year. Their science team is working on it now.
So if mayors get this standard, how will local governments use this to protect the people who live in the Great Lakes Basin and rely on the lakes for water?
They'll have a template. They'll have something that they can rely on to make decisions. One of the things that came out of the meeting was that there was intense debate over whether or not the Toledo's water was drinkable. And finally, the mayor, Mayor Collins in Toledo, he just had to make a decision between his debating staff, and he decided to err on caution. So that's why the standard is of critical importance.
Knowing whether or not your water is drinkable would be a good thing.
That's good, yes.
Let's talk about EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy, who, as you pointed out, was at the meeting and talked about the new and improved blueprint for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, and just explain why this matters to us.
Great Lakes Restoration lagged for a number of years, decades, until it was given some life first by the Bush administration in 2005, although the former President Bush, the son, the plan was formed under his administration, but he didn't fund it. But it started to receive money under President Obama in 2009, actually, started funding it in 2010. And all this pent-up demand to clean up the Great Lakes started then, and they've been working on a number of projects in various areas around the Great Lakes region, many of them in Michigan, since then. But they felt like they needed to update the plan, so they...
And why? Why is that? Why did it need to be updated?
Well, it needs to adapt. You know, they learned a lot in the 5 years, what worked, what didn't work, changing priorities. But if you like the old plan, you're going to like the new one because there aren't a lot of changes to it. They're going to continue to focus on these legacy toxic hot White Lake in western Michigan, just on the cusp of being cleaned up. And the new thing they added to the program, the only new thing, is regarding climate change, and that's climate resiliency. If you want to do a project for Great Lakes, and if you want $100,000 or $1 million or $5 million, you're going to have to be able to demonstrate that you've considered climate resiliency.
What is climate resiliency?
No sense doing a project if it's on the verge of being wiped out based on climate change factors, intense storms, all that comes, heat waves, drought, all those types of things. They're not going to spend money on it if you haven't demonstrated that you've at least considered the effects of climate change. And what that tells me is that, the EPA accepts that climate change is happening, the debate is over, and if before they give out money, they're going to expect the recipients to have considered it too.
Mm-hmm. So what, in the next 1 or 2 years, just very briefly, what can people expect to see out of the projects from the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative?
They're going to pick up the pace on these cleaning up these toxic hotspots that dot the region. Like I said, White Lake will be delisted later this year. Those are high visibility. They've been lagging for 10, 20, 30 years. You're going to see increased emphasis on that. And, you know, they're putting a lot of money into the algae issues, which is somewhat controversial. The algae issues in Lake Erie and elsewhere, they won't be fixed by money. But the EPA is going to continue to put money in those areas, trying to promote voluntary best management practices by farmers to keep the phosphorus out of the lake. Beyond that, there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that don't get a lot of, they're not glamorous. Restoring a wetland isn't glamorous, but it's certainly a necessary thing. And always fighting Asian carp, doing the best that they can to keep them out of the Great Lakes.
Which we could launch a whole other discussion off on, but we're going to have to stop right there.
<You're> right.
Commentator and journalist Gary Wilson giving us the major Great Lakes news from this month. Gary, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. Always good to be with you.
Gary Wilson is a Great Lakes commentator and journalist. This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and right here on Current State every Tuesday as part of this partnership.